Perek Chaf Beis, Mishnah Vav. Now, in Mishnah Vav, there are actually a number of mefarshim, a number of commentaries that explain the Mishnah one way, and that they're explaining it another way. So, to keep things simple, we're going to follow the explanation of Rashi. But to see other mefarshim, the Rambam and others, you could look inside, either in your own Mishnah or on the app, and see how they give over the pshat in the Mishnah. But we're going to follow Rashi. So let's begin. Mishnah Vav. Sachin, a person is permitted on Shabbos to anoint his body with oil. Umemash mashin b'bnei me'ayim. Now, b'nei me'ayim means intestines. Most commentaries, most mefarshim do not have this text, this gerus, they just remove it. And they just go with the word memash mashin, which means mishmash is like to do a usage. So what it's saying is that you could use your hands when you're smearing the oil on your body. Kolomar, shebizman shesachem, when you're rubbing the oil on your body, the mashashim biyad, you could use your hand. You don't have to use like a spoon or a fork. You don't have to do a shino, you just use your hand. Hakalagov on your whole body, benachas lahana, with, you know, do it softly for pleasure, and it's permitted. Avalom is amlin. However, you cannot do it with misamlin, with strength on Shabbos, meaning kolaymar. Sheim mishashim is like bekoach. Don't do it with strength where you're, you know, working really hard and you're trying to rub that oil into your body. Rather, do it soft and enjoy the pleasure. And this is permitted on Shabbos. Now, the truth is that there are a number of issues that come up when you're smearing your body with oil on Shabbos, whether it's mamreach, smearing, which is a prohibition, or refuah, healing. You can't do things for refuah on Shabbos. So the exact reason behind this, best is to check out the Mefarshim to see why we permit this. But according to Rashi, he doesn't really speak about it much. He just says that it's permitted on Shabbos. Okay, moving right along. Below Miss Garden, a person should not use my gredas as like a scraper, some kind of scraping device or a brush. You can't use that on Shabbos, because when you're using that item to put the oil on you, you're doing a ma'isa shelchol, you're doing a weekday act, and you can't do things that look like a weekday act on Shabbos. It's prohibited. However, they bring down over here, Bram, however, Mhayu Yodav Luchlechos Betit or Betsoa, what happens if the person's hands were just filthy with, you know, with dirt or with tsoa is excrement? Then a person could, you know, use this scraper and scrape his gored kedarka. He could scrape his hands like he normally would. He doesn't have to be concerned about doing any prohibition. Since he's doing this out of no choice, doesn't look like he's doing a weekly act. Meaning, if he's got something on his hand that he can't get it off without a scraper, it's stuck, it's thick, it's, you know, it's just stuck on his hands. Then when he's removing it, you know, I don't know if it makes a difference whether he's using oil or whether he's using water over here. The idea is that he needs to use this scraper to get it off. And what we're saying here is that generally you can't use a scraper because it looks like you're doing a weekday act on Shabbos. But if you have no choice, if it's stuck and you can't get it off, then you could use the scraper and you don't have to worry about doing a ma'aseh shelchol, a weekday act. Okay? Moving right along, in Yordan Likordima, a person is not permitted to go down to Kordima. Kordima was the name of a river, Shem Nahar, name of a river. Sheish tit machlech b'karka usa, that it had very slippery mud on the bottom of the river. And when it goes down to the river, it's going to happen to him that he'll slip and he'll fall and his clothing will get soaking wet. And then, according to Rashi, we're afraid that he's going to come to squeeze out his clothing and do schita, to squeeze out his clothing on Shabbos, which is prohibited. Again, there are more commentaries that have different explanations of the prohibition of not going down to this river, but please check your own Mishnayos or the app to see what they say. Do not want to get carried away. So let's just stick with Rashi. Okay. V'yein osin apiktivizin. You can't make apiktavizin. What is apiktavizin? So it was a potion that they would use in order to, if they had to hakas mahamaychal, if they had to throw up their food, if they had to regurgitate their food, if they were choking, if they just had to get out of their body because they weren't feeling well. So a person is prohibited to drink this special liquid on Shabbos because it looks like you're doing an act for refuah, for healing. And they made a gezeira that one, if one does this, he may come to start grinding up medicine on Shabbos, which is a prohibition of grinding on Shabbos. Generally, whenever there's a prohibition to do something for refuah or for healing on Shabbos, the reason why it's prohibited is because you might come to grind medications, and grinding on Shabbos is prohibited. That's the general principle. However, they do bring down that, you know, you can't drink this potion, but if you had to spit something out, you are permitted to stick your finger into your throat in order to, you know, regurgitate the food that was stuck in your throat. And the Rambam explains, what is this word, apik tevizin? He says that it's a compound of the word apik tevizin. Apik in Aramaic is to remove. Tevizin is like the muslin, is the food. To remove the food from your body before it, you know, gets digested in your stomach. So that's a compound word. Vein ma'azvenes ha'katan, if you had a minor that had very soft bones, and you want to, they say over here, imitatin misharim, you cannot fix and make straight the bones and the joints of the spine of this kid on Shabbos, because it's like bone, it's like building, unbelievable. Apparently the kid has very soft bones, and they have to be put back into place, maybe some kind of chiropractic work. So you can't do this on Shabbos, because it's like bone, it's like building. However, it would be permitted to wrap the miner in cloths or in a wide belt, in order to, you know, straighten out his, the Yashiv Pirkei Varav Arachim, to straighten out his joints, you know, more of like, you know, more passive way. That would be permitted. Okay. Vin mach zirin as a shever, a person who has a bone that broke or got dislocated, it's prohibited to return it to its place on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains, she'en alacha ben yizak mishasinu, regarding this matter, we do not paskin like our Mishnah. Rather, the halacha is that you could return the bone, either a broken bone or a dislocated bone, to its place on Shabbos. We paskin to be lenient. Okay, mishi nifrika yadav aragla. What happens if a person he breaks or dislocates his yadav aragla, hand or foot, from its socket? So they say over here, since there's no sakana over here, lo yutufein betzonein, he cannot spritch cold water on the b'makom ha'neka, the place of the joint, in order to, you know, cool it down, in order to calm it down, to like help him feel better, because this looks like he's doing it for a fuah, so it would be prohibited. Avarochis ukadarko, he could bathe himself like he normally would, his hands or his feet, you know. If nisrap, if he heals, then he heals, because since he's not doing it, shkosha einu nira, doesn't appear that he's doing it for a fuah. So if it happens to happen, so then we're fine with it. It is, you can't do it, you know, if your intent is for refuah. But if your intent is not for refuah, it just happens to be that when you're washing yourself, you know, you get this cold water on the spots where you want it to be, and you get healed, then it's not a problem. And that concludes Perek Chaf Beis. Perek Chaf Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, second to last Perek in Masechta Shabbos. Shoal Adam Mechaveroi Kadiyayan Mechade Shemin. A person is permitted to borrow from his friend jugs of wine and jugs of oil on Shabbos. Ubavash lo yomar lo halveni. He can't say the word halveni. Rather, he should say hashileni. Now, the truth is halveni and hashileni both mean, can you lend me something? But in Hebrew, they have different contexts. So the Gemara says like this. If he says halveni, so we're afraid that his friend's going to come and then mark it down in his ledger on Shabbos, and he'd be doing a prohibition of writing, in order that he shouldn't forget that there's a loan out. Because halva, lashon of halva, halveni, is mashma for a long period. So if it's for a long period, I'm going to forget about it. He wants to write it down right now on Shabbos. But if he says hashileni, you know, he uses the word hashileni, lend it to me, so she'ela is only for a short time. So for a short time, then we're not concerned he's going to go ahead and write it down on Shabbos, because for a short time, he knows he'll pay it back to me, and I don't have to, you know, keep record. So therefore, he should only say hashileni and not halveni. Rashi adds over here that a regular halva, halveni, is 30 days. 30 days is a long time. So if you do that, the lender may come to write it down on Shabbos. Whereas she'ela hashileni is tzorach hashoal, the borrower has to return it at any point that the lender says, hey, give it to me. So it's for much, much shorter time, and therefore we're not concerned he's going to have to write it down on Shabbos, and therefore you use the word hashileni instead of alveni. Similarly, a woman who wants to borrow from her friend loaves of bread, she could ask her friend in the lashon of she'ela, hashileni, lend me the breads on Shabbos, but don't say halveni with the lashon of halva. Even if when she's using the right lashon, she says hashileni, her friend doesn't believe her that she'll pay her back. So what happens then? Then maniach taliso etzlo, the woman can leave her taliso, her cloak, by this person. So the borrower is permitted to leave his garment by the person as collateral. As long as he doesn't say to him that this, you know, a beged, this, you know, cloak is serving as a collateral. Don't say it. Rather, just leave it there and, you know, Shabbos, and after Shabbos, you make your own cheshbon, how much you owe the person for the loaves that you borrowed. So you, in order to show that, you know, you're a trustworthy person, if the lender doesn't believe you, you know, these ladies could leave their cloak by them. Don't say I'm giving to you as collateral, but just leave it there passively. And then after Shabbos, you take care of business and you make your cheshbon, you pay them back. V'chein Erev Pesach, B'Yushalayim, Sh'aliyot B'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach in Yushalayim, where you have to bring a carbon Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, and a person forgets to buy a lamb for the carbon Pesach on Erev Shabbos, so he can't buy it on Erev Yom Tov, because Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos now, right? So what do you do? So maniach t'liso etzlo, leave your garment by the seller for the seller of the animals, the mocher behemos. Then take your carbon Pesach, take your lamb. Since the carbon Pesach, its zman is kavua, it's a set time, and you have to bring it even on Shabbos. So it's permitted to be makdish, to sanctify it on Shabbos, to make this set a carbon Pesach. Normally you can't make something hektish on Shabbos. But here it's permitted because the zman is done even on Shabbos. And then you make a cheshbon after Yom Tov. You can't just wait for Shabbos to be over to pay back the seller, because it's still Yom Tov, right? You have to wait till after Yom Tov to pay back the seller. So that's what he's saying over here. The idea is that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and now he forgets to buy the carbon Pesach. So it's already, you know, he didn't do it Erev Shabbos, and now that it's Shabbos, it's Erev Pesach, he can't do it on Shabbos, because it's Shabbos. So he, you know, what he does is he goes to the seller of the animals. He takes a lamb. He leaves his garment as collateral without saying anything. And then after Yom Tov, after Shabbos and Yom Tov, he pays him back and, you know, makes the cheshbon. Okay, that concludes Mishnah Aleph.